Hey guys, this is Lauren with the Century 21 Property Advisors Podcast. I can't wait to share what we have for you today.
I don't know if he's here, but Grant.
To cover everybody, of course, no star, and this is Pam Reed. Pam's our office manager. If y'all have not met Pam, and I'm Steve Reed, and I'm the owner of the title company, and I'm also a real estate attorney, been practicing law here for about 35 years now. Hard to say that, but it's true. First of all, I just want to really thank you for letting us come and visit with you today. And I want to just assure you that we will be respectful of your time. I know that everyone is busy, and I also just want you to know that our goal is to make sure that when this presentation is over, that you're able to say it was worth my time to take out from the busy day that that I have to listen to this presentation. It's always our goal at Stonewall Title Company to serve you guys. Our motto really is, if our realtors are successful, we're successful. So we're very, very committed to your success, and we, there's a lot of things that we do day in and day out that you don't see that are responsive to that motto and that goal, but we really want to live that motto in tangible ways. And so if there's ever anything we can do to assist you, then you know where to find us. And so we just want to extend that invitation. I like small groups, and I'm glad we've got a small group here, and so everybody can just be comfortable. I'm going to start with kind of a compulsory joke, and I usually tell lawyer jokes, but this one's going to be a realtor joke. And there was a particular realtor who will be nameless that was a top producer. And they were on vacation down at the coast and walking along the beach one morning, and happened upon an oil lamp that had washed upon the beach. And being the ever optimist, they picked up the lamp and rubbed it, and sure enough, the genie was there. So the genie offered three wishes, but after visiting with the realtor, said that there was a condition for granting the three wishes, and that was just based on the realtor's success as a top producer, that there had to be a lesson of humility that went along with granting the three wishes. And so the caveat, if the realtor wanted the three wishes, was that their fiercest competitor received twice whatever they received in the wish. And so the realtor considered that for a moment, decided, okay, I can live with those conditions. And so his first wish was for $10 million. And so the genie granted the wish, and the fiercest competitor got $20 million. The second wish was for a vintage Ferrari. So again, the realtor received a vintage Ferrari, the competitor two vintage Ferraris. And then after some thoughtful contemplation, and before making the third wish, the realtor said, I wish to donate one of my kidneys. I guess the point of that little joke is just to recognize that, like many industries, the real estate industry is a fiercely competitive industry. And so one of the things that we hope to do today is just to help you guys be more competitive and have another, or sharpen, one of the arrows that's in your, that's in your toolbox in terms of, the services that you provide. And so the title of my little presentation is the ABCs of the title commitment. And, I'm going to make a statement that I'm sure all of you would agree with, and it may describe you, but every realtor should review the title commitment to every transaction that they are involved in. And so you say, why is that? And and some of these are obviously rhetorical questions and you know the answers, but if you'll bear with me, you know, that commitment is integral to the transaction. The title commitment is really integral to every single transaction that you're going to be involved in if title insurance is in play, and it should be. It contains vital information about the transaction and about the real property that is the subject of the transaction. And there are also key deadlines and earnest money contract that's tied to that commitment. And so I want to take a minute, and I think you have in your material there, you should have the second page of just a typical 1-4 family residential track contract. You should have page 2. Mm-hmm. And the last numbered paragraph on page 1 is title policy and survey, and that's what carries over to page 2. And if you work your way down to paragraph D there, I want us to take a look at that provision because it's what really ties us to the to the title commitment, and it has contractual obligations that are related to that commitment. So if you'll permit me, I'm going to just read that and ask if you guys would read along with me. But it says, the buyer may object in writing to defects, exceptions, or encumbrances to title disclosed on the survey other than items 6A1 through 7 above. The buyer may object in writing to defects, exceptions, and encumbrances disclosed in the commitment other than 6A1 through 9 above, or which prohibit the following use or activity. And that's, you guys, a lot of times, that blank is not one that you necessarily fill in every day, but there are several examples that I think are everyday transactions. It might be, for example, that if it's a lot that somebody wants to build a 1500 square foot home, and so you've got to make sure, for example, the restrictions allow for a home of that size. They may want a detached garage. They may want no garage. They may want to be able to have a home business. They may have a pet pig. They may want to build a swimming pool. Well, can they do those things? If you're actually representing a buyer and filling out this transaction and they've got some specific thing that they want to do with that property that's not already there, then of course this would be a place that you would you would fill that in. I'm going to go ahead and finish reading a section here. It says, the buyer must object the earlier of the closing date or blank days after the buyer receives a commitment, exception documents, and survey. Buyer's failure to object within the time allowed will constitute a waiver of buyer's right to object, except that the requirements in Schedule C of the commitment are not waived. So here you've got a provision that says that the buyer's going to receive a title commitment, and then the buyer, upon review of that title commitment, has a specified period of time within which to object to any of the conditions or exceptions in the title commitment. And if the buyer, fails to do that within the time prescribed, which you guys fill in, then the buyer waives those objections. So if I'm a realtor and I'm representing a prospective home buyer that wants to build a pool, and I send you the restrictive covenant, the title company sends me the commitment and I don't review it, and one of the standard exceptions in a commitment is the restrictive covenants. If it's in a neighborhood that has restrictive covenants and it says no pools, and I don't catch that and my buyer doesn't object, then somebody's going to be unhappy when we get to closing, or even worse, post-closing, and it very easily could come back on you as a realtor. And certainly it keeps you from accomplishing your objective of providing the best possible representation to your buyer. And so and I've seen other things here recently. We had a transaction that there was an easement that went right across the middle of this lot, and it really almost made the property unbuildable. Well, that showed up, you know, in the title commitment, but nobody objected to it. And then, you know, you've got a potential issue or a potential problem. So there are a number of times, more than we could begin to mention or enumerate in the few minutes that we have here today, but that you can have, you know, that type of issue come up. And so really it's incumbent upon you as a realtor to review that commitment and make sure that you know if there's anything in there that affects your client. And there's some things that, and I would say it's more important, I think, if you represent a buyer than if you represent a seller, but there are issues, and we'll talk about some of those a little bit later on in the program, that affect the seller side of the transaction as well. Because if you've got a curative problem that comes up in that commitment and the seller has to cure, and there's time constraints within which the seller has to do that, then you want to have the best jump on those issues, you know, that you possibly can. And a lot of those issues, I'll just go ahead and say, really have to do with probably one of the most common scenarios would be how title is vested, if there's an heirship issue or a title issue, and we got to go try to figure out how to get that cured before closing. So in any event, that kind of is one way that the commitment is directly tied to your earnest money contract. So that's obviously one reason that commitment is very important to the transaction and to you as a realtor involved in that transaction, because of those key deadlines that you definitely don't want to overlook. And you certainly don't want to have to be the one that goes back to your client and says, we missed that deadline and we can't object. And we see that happen, not often, but we certainly have seen that happen in our business. And I'll just insert kind of a comment here. I will tell you, part of what we try to do as a title company, our responsibility is to get that commitment out to you and to get it out to you timely, or out to the buyer and seller timely in accordance with the provisions in the contract. But we try not to do that in a vacuum. If we see something that's glaring, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure that you're aware of that. But we're not always privy to what all of the issues are, i.e. somebody wants a swimming pool, or, you know, so we don't necessarily know everything there is to know about what's involved in the transaction from a buyer or seller's point of view. But if we find something that we really see that we know is going to be a problem, you know, we do undertake to make sure we communicate that with you, although it's in black and white in the commitment. So my question, yes, sir, Pete.
What do you typically see when you're filling in the blank of the number of days? What do you much object the earlier of, and then what do you typically see? 3, 5, 7?
Well, so that's a pretty good answer. 3, 5, and 7 are probably the most common numbers that I see there. So, you know, the nature of the world that we live in and the nature of the beast today is everybody's inclined to want to put 3 in there. And I would suggest to you as a realtor, when you're negotiating that, you really want to think about it from a, how much time do I reasonably need to look at the commitment and have a conversation with my client if there is an issue, and write an objection letter, because that's what happens next. You know, if there's a problem, in order to preserve your rights under the contract, you've got to send in a letter. If you're a buyer, you've got to send a letter to the seller objecting to whatever it is in the title commitment that's creating a problem, you know, from your point of view. And then that puts the onus on the seller to either cure that objection or, you know, it gives you the ability to terminate the contract if that's what needs to happen. But what it does highlight, that your question, Pete, is really how important it is, I think, you know, as realtors, you really ought to be looking for that commitment. And the minute it comes in, your first opportunity, you should review the commitment. And so, you know, the question is the title commitment routinely reviewed by the real estate agents in every transaction? And you guys tell me. Probably not.
B and C.
And we're going to really drill down on those schedules in just a minute here. But
we just say in general that 7 is better than 3, because according to the direct contract, if you find out there's a problem on Friday, then by Monday you would have to have something in place.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I think it really just depends on, it's almost more of a realtor driven date than it is a buyer or seller driven date, because the real question is how much time, because you know that in 99%.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Century 21 Property Advisors podcast today. Make sure you like and share if you got value, and spread the knowledge.